Welcome to the Encounter Series podcast. I'm your host, Carl Faze, and today's special guest is Taya Lee. Taya has a remarkable story of faith and is the wife of last week's guest, Aaron. In our conversation, Taya will share how she was introduced to a Ouija board when she was only 5 years old and how this moment had a ripple effect in her life for the decades that followed. It opened her eyes to the reality of the spiritual world, and she encountered the good and the bad of this in her journey through New Age spirituality. She eventually encountered Jesus when she stumbled upon a YouTube video and the house of cards started to crumble. Let's hear more of her story. So, Taya, we're in San Francisco, but where do you live?
On Vancouver Island in BC.
Have you been there a long time?
I've been there about 5 years now, but I had wanted to move to the island for about 10 years beforehand. I was always drawn there.
Where did you live before that?
Vancouver on the mainland.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your family life? What was your early family life like?
I grew up between my mom and dad, who never really stayed together, were never married. And so kind of living in two different worlds at all times.
Now, your mom introduced you to a Ouija board pretty early. How old were you then?
Yeah, I was about five, which usually makes people kind of gasp a little.
When you think back about that, what do you think now?
You know, I think of a woman who was seeking herself and searching for something. She was actually adopted, and at that point in our lives, she had never met her biological family. And so, the more I've kind of reflected on that, I can see a woman who is seeking her own identity, really, and looking for answers.
And that, would you say, even that start as a five-year-old, that puts you on a path?
It definitely put me on a path. And I remember like the first question that I asked that she taught me how to ask. And so clearly I was a seeker all along. And when that answer came, it gave me this ability or opportunity to connect with something spiritual that had all of the answers, which was very appealing to me.
So just to clarify that, so you actually asked a spirit a question and through the board got an answer?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you said you felt that was empowering?
It was really empowering because the question I asked, I don't know if I can say, but basically I asked if sand was real. And yeah. So clearly I was a skeptic, even as a little kid. And, you know, it went to no. And I watched my mom's face kind of in that instant have to either admit the truth or tell a lie. And I really admired that she told the truth. Yeah. And so being such a young child, I saw with all of the other kids that I would, you know, hang out with, what happens when people believe a lie. And so that's what I think really got me kind of hooked in, because, you know, Satan always tempts us with truth at first, right? That's why we get sucked into it. So I really held on to that story for a really long time, because when I was seeking for truth in all of these other ways, that was my way to get it, not just, you know, through a Ouija board, but how that transitioned over the years into tarot and numerology and astrology and all of those types of things.
So at that point, even as a young person growing up, what was religion, belief, God to you?
I was actually always fascinated with God and religion. And, you know, some of my childhood friends growing up were different religions. One of my best friends, which was a Jehovah's Witness, and I remember going to church with her and just being really interested in belief and watching people believe and have faith. One of the things, even though my mom introduced me to all of that stuff, and I don't think really believed in God herself, there was no like religion in my upbringing, she would always ask me if she wanted to know if I was telling the truth. And I always did, but she would always say, "Do you swear to God?" And I remember the first time that happened, because she would say like, "Because if you lie, you're going to go to hell." And so every time she would ask me something, she'd be like, "Do you swear to God?" And of course, you know, put the fear of God into me. I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but it's not somewhere that I want to go. And so I think that always showed me that there was something there. And even for non-believers, how powerful that fear is.
You get into teenage years and then later years. You didn't grow out of this, did you? This actually became key to who you were.
Yeah, it definitely, the deeper that I sort of got, again, just like seeking, looking for answers, why we're here. And I think, you know, we kind of feel like that in this sort of godless society. Like it's like we're living in Babylon, right? Like people are worshiping all these false idols. And I was just really seeking. And it was, again, all of these different tools that seemed to give answers that I couldn't find anywhere else. Yeah.
Did people come to you to seek answers for themselves?
Yeah.
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 What would that look like?
Well, it started, I guess, when I was about 20, I went and saw like a psychic for the first time, and she did my numerology, which I was totally captivated by. This woman, like, being able to tell me all of this stuff about myself just based on my name and my birthday. And then, so I just like studied everything I could about it. And so that was kind of the first thing that I started offering, was numerology readings. And then that led into tarot readings.
A lot of people would hear you say all of that and just go, oh, it's mumbo jumbo. There's nothing going on there. What do you think?
Well, I think now that I'm reading the Bible, God wouldn't warn about it if it wasn't real. Mm. Right? Like, he's very clear, like, don't put any other idols in, you know, ahead of me. Don't do divination. Don't, you know, do all of these things. And if there was nothing there, he wouldn't have talked about it.
Yeah. So was there ever moments where it was scary?
You know, I felt very fortunate. Like, I never really had any bad experiences. I would hear other people talk about bad experiences. And I do think that there is the ability, as you're communicating with that other side. And I always made it very clear, like, I am not available for any scary stuff or any type of spirits kind of coming through in that way. Like, everything I did, I felt was very of the light. Mm. And one of the ways that started was I had gone to a psychic development class when I was mid to late 20s. And as soon as I walked in the door, this woman just looked right at me and she's like, you're a white witch. You're here to do good work. And so that was just, you know, this moment for me where I felt seen and I felt almost appointed, like I had a purpose, you know, mm. and this person really saw me. And so I really, you know, started to cling on to that identity.
Would you have described yourself as a white witch if somebody asked?
I didn't always say white witch, but I definitely identified with the term witch.
Yeah, yeah. You had a bit of a financial crisis in all of this. What happened there?
Yeah. So at the time, I was doing a lot of copywriting, like for my own business, copywriting for other spiritual women in this industry, and essentially helping them write their like new age spiritual testimonies. And I had this one client who was a coach who, you know, was talking about how to make all this money every month and how to make 10K and everything. And she was such a lovely girl. But it came to a point where she wasn't able to make her monthly payments. And it really was like the house of cards started to fall, because, I mean, we all know social media is pretty fake, but the illusion just really started to crack, because I was like in such close proximity with this woman who was communicating on camera about her ability to teach you how to do all of this stuff. Meanwhile, when it came to the work we were doing together, I was seeing her financial crisis. And so I was like, this is off, you know? And it helped me to see how much of we're pretty like low level when we're talking about that type of money for what other coaches are talking about, like hundreds of thousands of dollars and all of this stuff. And I started to think, like, what is actually going on behind the scenes of this industry, if this is just like a little piece that I'm seeing? So that's kind of when it started to crumble. And it put me in a pretty rough financial situation. And I kind of had to start selling everything that I owned just to pay rent. And that's really, though, where, like, I do like to consider myself quite a like minimalistic type person, and letting go of all of those things is really when Jesus was able to come in.
I was going to ask you then, so what was your first contact with taking Jesus more seriously?
So yeah, about during this time when like all these red flags I was starting to see, and you know, I couldn't deny how like self-absorbed this industry I was in was seeming, and this like obsession with self, because that's really what the New Age is. It's this obsession with self and finding your identity and all of these different things. And so I remember just sitting there one day at home, and I'm sitting on my couch and I'm scrolling through YouTube, and I see this one girl's testimony, and it was an interview, and the title was Why I Left Astrology. And I clicked on it, and that's kind of when it happened. It was finally like, you know, it was finally the harvest, I guess you would say. You know, like people plant seeds and, you know, you hear different things and you're being watered all the time. And that was the moment where everything she said, because she had just come out of this whole world and was finally able to connect all of the dots through scripture that no one had ever done for me before. Like, it was finally someone who spoke my language, and my eyes were totally opened.
What was that like? Because you've given yourself to this now for 20 odd years. It's everything that you do, and there's somebody popping the bubble.
Yeah.
How do you respond?
Well, I was sitting there after one of the things she talked a lot about in the interview was, you know, these idols that we put ahead of God. And so sitting on my couch in front of my big book collection, which, you know, there were some Christian books in there, but it was mainly occult, New Age reference books. And I remember thinking, this whole bookshelf is a total idol to me. You know, I don't really care about any other possessions, but like I lug these boxes of books every single time I move. I put it literally dead center in my living room as it's this idol, like living idol. And I would get almost like, I would get attention from my friends as soon as they would see my bookshelf, like, oh wow, and like, you know, start like looking through it. And that was the moment where I was like, wow, I've totally made this book collection. And the story of the Ouija board story, that, you know, beginning story of how it all started, I've made that an idol as well.
Yeah. Did you start going to church? Did you start reading the Bible? What did you do?
I actually started going to church before that. So I was kind of like one foot in the occult, one foot in Christianity for quite a while. But I didn't want to call myself a Christian until it was like, I finally got it, you know? And, but what happened basically that night, I took all of the books off the shelf and put them in storage. And so then it was completely bare. And then I just start watching testimony after testimony of similar women who had come from this industry, and kind of all night, and like all these dots are connecting. And then finally by about like 10 o'clock at night, I'm sitting at my desk and like really diving into scripture, because now I'm understanding all these different scriptures that reference kind of what I was going through. And, you know, I'm reading how Satan tempts Jesus in the desert and everything that he's, you know, trying to offer Jesus. It was like, man, this is totally the New Age. Like, it just promises all of these material things, but it's like, it's fool's gold. It's not real.
So, and I noticed, I read something or watched something that you talked about, and it was 10 o'clock on the 4th of November, 2022.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that you've got that date and that time. 10 o'clock, 4th of November, 2022. What did you do?
Mm-hmm. So that's when I was sitting at my desk. And again, like I said, like I have never really had any bad sort of spiritual experiences. Everything's been pretty of the light. And, you know, I've heard of, you know, spiritual warfare and kind of like, you know, when you become a Christian, like the enemy will kind of like try and attack you a little bit and stuff like that. But I hadn't really experienced anything like that. And, you know, everything was just pretty, you know, go with the flow. Like, whoa, like my eyes are being opened, and then I'm sitting and I'm reading this. And it literally, as soon as I read how Satan tempts Jesus, like this massive windstorm starts all around the house, the power goes out, and I'm sitting there like, okay, this is actually happening. Like, because up until that point, there was nothing really experiential about it. Like, it was just being in the Word, and it was more of an intellectual process for me. And so, and that was one of the things I think that was really not what I expected at all, because coming from the more spiritual New Age occult that is so focused on the experience, I thought that's how I was going to find Jesus. I thought that's how I was going to become a Christian, was this like immersive kind of experience. But it didn't start off with that. It actually started off as a more intellectual reading the Word of God.
When you feel this opposition, if I can put a spiritual attack, what did you then do?
I just kind of, and I don't know if it was like the moment that, whether that is God just being like, okay, I'm here, this is real. And it, what it felt like in that moment was like a reset. It was like the lights were going off and they're coming back on, and you are made new in that moment.
When had you met Aaron?
I met him a few years before that. And he was definitely a full-on Christian man, which I honestly was very attracted to. And it's kind of funny because I was never attracted to men who were into the New Age, like kind of repulsed, honestly, like no attraction at all. And so I always knew that I wanted a man that was really led by God. And when I saw him pop up online, as a lot of modern relationships start, I knew right away. I was just like, there you are.
When you had conversations early on, and he talked about being a follower of Jesus and being a Christian, and you talked about believing in God, in your head, did you think, we're on a different page? Or what were you thinking then?
A little bit. Like, for the first couple years, we did refer to, like, we're kind of living in two different worlds. Mm-hmm. And they would, like, blend a bit, but they would, it was just kind of like this image. And I was really trying to get there. I was really trying to understand, like, okay, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. I was connecting it with, like, okay, like, mind, body, soul. I get that, like, and then how can those two, are those two, like, the same thing? And are we really saying the same thing? But just, like, there was this language barrier.
You made a decision to follow Jesus. You tell Aaron. It's his response?
Yeah, I phone him after this like 10 o'clock experience when the power goes out, and I'm like, hey, something's kind of happening right now. And I could like hear the smile over the phone. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like a spiritual thing, like pretty sure Jesus is real. And kind of, you know, shared a little bit about what was going on. But yep. I'm like, I think I get it. Like, I think it's happening right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you did decide that you had these books in boxes, but then you really needed to get rid of them.
Yeah.
What did you do?
So the next night, so I went to bed, like, fine that night. And then the next night is when kind of the spiritual warfare really started, which, again, I'd never experienced anything like that. Mm. But it's like, it doesn't want you to leave, you know? And I think I was a good servant.
Yep. Yep.
To that world.
Yep.
And so that's why I never really experienced anything bad. And, that night there was just like nightmare after nightmare after nightmare. You know, voices in the walls of my house. Just very, did not want me to leave the grip of it. And so the next morning I woke up and, went to church, even though I'd been up all night, like crying and, you know, and then right after church that morning, I was like, we need to get rid of all of these books. And so we got a little metal garbage can, went down to this gravel pit, and literally put all the books into my car. And there's hundreds of them. And if you've ever tried to burn books before, it actually takes a really long time. So we got through, I think we were down there for a couple hours and, you know, tried to burn as much as we could. And then finally, within a couple hours, I'm like, I've been immersed in this for like 20 plus years. I just want this in the trash. Like, I don't even want to go on like another minute doing this. And so it started to get dark. It started to get rainy. And I was like, oh man, like I wish we could just go to the dump, but the dump's closed now. And so we were like, okay, well, let's just drive. And we, you know, like I lived out in the country. And so it's like, okay, let's just drive to the closest gas station, maybe 10 minutes away. If there's like a dumpster, you know, we'll just chuck it in there. And so, yeah, we drove. And just as we were coming in the parking lot, the man was literally had the keys to go open the dumpster, and we pull up and we're like, we need to get rid of some stuff. Can we throw this in there? And so we just like chucked all the bins of books in there.
I mean, it's clearly easier to get rid of books in a dumpster than in a fire.
Yeah.
But was it a bit cathartic burning them?
It was, I think just because it took so long, I was just so done with it. I was just like, I'm ready to just throw this in the trash.
Wow.
Yeah.
How have you changed from that moment?
I just feel like not holding on to that identity, even kind of like thinking about this person that I was that I'm talking about right now. It's like, I so don't even feel like her anymore.
Mm.
Yeah. And like totally open and here for God to write the next chapter of my life.
It's interesting that somebody would see themselves as an atheist, doesn't believe in God, but they also don't believe in Satan. They don't believe in any spiritual world. What was your response to somebody who say, "Ah, there's nothing in either side of that"?
I think I would just say there is.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, if anyone is like really, really struggling, they will always call out to Jesus. Even whether you're in the New Age or the occult or you're an atheist, that is like the final destination that people will always reach out to.
Hmm. Have you been able to talk to your mum about this, and what was her response?
A little bit. I think, you know, one thing that she said, she's like, I can't believe I got you into that so young. And I think that there's been a little bit of sadness maybe on her part for sharing that. And she's still on her own journey. But the more that I can just kind of share this change with her, that's kind of where we're at.
So marrying Aaron, what was that like?
It was so beautiful. It really was like the next day after I was saved, he met me down at the pier and basically said, yeah, do you want to get married? and it was, I guess it was like within a year. And we had known, like, even since, you know, the day we started dating, we were certainly courting for marriage. Mm. It's been a great experience.
So before you moved to Vancouver Island and before God sort of started reaching into your life, give us a picture of what you were involved in.
So I was living in Vancouver right on Beach Avenue and, you know, going through just regular life and deciding I wanted to reach out to this therapist. And he was kind of like the therapist guy that a lot of people in the more new agey community of Vancouver went to. So I was like, okay, this guy's got to be good, right? He did a lot of relational therapy and that kind of stuff. And so I go and it's, you know, in his apartment and thousands of books in this like Kitsilano apartment. And all the books that I recognize of in the occult as well, right? And so, you know, we're talking about just my life and whatnot. And about halfway through the therapy session, he goes, I think you're here for a different reason. And I'm like, ooh, what? And he's like, I run a magic class every week. And I think that's actually why you're here. So again, similar to the White Witch story, it was the same moment, this older mentor kind of figure witnessing me. And so I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, so he kind of shares like, what it's about, what we're gonna do. He's like, yeah, the people that kind of like they wear black capes, we do different exercises. Like it almost sounds, it's hard not to kind of like laugh now, you know? And I'm thinking in my head, like, man, do people show up in their capes? Like, are they on the street? Like, what is going on? And so I take the bus there. And anyway, so I was involved in this magic class. I think I only went for about 3 or 4 sessions because things started to feel off. But during that, there was definitely like ritual practice. There was like looking into black mirrors. There was sigil magic, which I had done in the past before, but never taught again by like a teacher. And it's different ways of like writing symbols in order to manifest things into your life. And so it was a lot of things like that. And this was at the height, there was probably about 15 of us in this man's living room. And yeah, and again, it was just like all these, you know, men and women, my age, seekers looking for the truth.
Hmm. There are a lot of people who look at the New Age and see it as a sort of a benign, soft, spiritual way to view life. And then there's the occultic practices like black magic. Is there a line between the two, or is it a gradient? How do you see that?
I think a gradient is a good way to put it, for sure. Again, it's like these really innocent seeming doorways. A lot of people that get into it, it's like it just starts with one yoga class. And it's like, well, what's wrong with stretching? But it's like you look into the history of it and there's all of these, you know, different practices. And again, like idol worship. And then it's like that gets you into literally these other religions. And then it's just like one thing after the next, after the next, after the next. And so, you know, listening to a lot of other testimonies too from women who came out of this, it's like you go to one yoga class and years later you're doing blood magic. Mm. And it's like, you didn't think that's what you'd be doing, but you kind of get talked into.
So it sounds like it's almost an odd word. It sounds like it's almost a bit of a portal. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it.
And then you're on a trajectory. And what you're saying is that what starts off as a nice yoga retreat, here's where this ends up. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me, so you kind of mentioned this quickly, I know, before, but I'll ask you again. So what are you did the Ouija board as a kid, but then you got into numerology, mm-hmm. and you've just mentioned black magic. What are the other things that you were doing?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I wouldn't call it black magic, like black mirror. So basically,
okay.
So what that is essentially, and now again, reading the Bible, a lot of people who are doing these practices, they haven't read the Bible, so they don't understand that a lot of these practices are just like distortions of Christianity in a way. So like the transfiguration, that's an example of like, we were trying to like mimic that experience with just another person where, you know, you can look at somebody and they will transfigure into like what looks like a different person. Mm. And so you can, you know, do that sitting face to face with someone, or also like looking into a black mirror. The best way, the example is Snow White, when she looks into the mirror, the evil queen, I think. That's essentially, and somebody else, another spirit, will show up in the mirror and you can get messages and things like that from that.
It's pretty, pretty disturbing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, that those things I only did in this magic class. But again, it's like I went for a therapy session and that's what it led to. Mm. And so these things can come in and like such, just like a tiny little crack in the door.
Last question. So given all of your experiences, how do you think people encounter Jesus today?
I really think that now, after having this experience, like God knows our heart better than we do. And he's going to speak to us each in different ways. Again, like I did not think for me it would be an intellectual process of just reading the book. And so I think it's going to be different for everybody. It might be a very experiential thing for somebody. It might be going to church. It might be through music or worship. But it might also be like for those who are like myself, who love studying, who love reading, who are really seeking, you know, the meat of the truth and why we're here. It might just be from sitting down and actually reading the Bible.
Taya, thank you. It's been fabulous. Thanks for listening to the Encounter Series podcast. We trust this story has inspired you today. If you'd like to explore more about faith yourself or just get more information, go to our website, olivetreemedia.com.au, or follow us on our socials. We would love for you to have an encounter with Jesus as well.